All right.
Oh!
All right. We're going to start. We've been waiting for 38 minutes. Yeah, come in hot. Relax. Here we go. The Right to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS. Brought to you by Mortgage CS. Become a Mortgage CS Ricky VIP at MortgageCS.com/Ricky. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Get this special limited edition Rebel shirt with your order at the link in the description of this pod. Limited edition. I think there's less than 50 of them. And Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe. Subscribe at rightstorickysanchez.com/newsletter. On the show today, what a stunning victory. Not dead yet. The Sixers win game 5 and send the series back to Philadelphia with a just remarkably clutch performance by one Tyrese Maxey. I can't believe they won. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, which some of you have been doing for 40 minutes, that's not in the final pod, but if you're watching live on YouTube, we've been here for 40 minutes, subscribe and turn on notifications. Subscribe and notifications. We do a podcast live after every playoff game, so subscribe and turn on notifications. I did mention Stateside or Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. So Surfside came to WIP today and dropped these off. Look, Mike, the year bottle, the year Stateside vodka bottle. It's got the year logo on the front, matte black gold leaf, and on the back, the Ricky logo and the signatures. It's available in the, it's a really just fucking sweet bottle. It looks amazing in person. You can go to the link in the description of the pod right now to order them. Only 1,000 of them in existence. And of course, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka is amazing. The Sixers won. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef. Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who just finished the game on DVR, on delay, 40
on CJ's DVR.
On CJ's DVR, because Mike didn't know how to watch his DVR remotely.
It didn't, it doesn't work remotely.
Anyway, he's live at work.
And your DVR didn't work remotely.
I think mine is because I'm in the market.
CJ had to save the day. It was CJ for the fucking, I would have been so fucking screwed.
You would have been. The Sixers.
I'm recording live from work. I'm in a soundproof screening room at my office. So I was allowed to be very loud.
I was going to say, you look like you're in
an abyss.
Yeah.
Yes. This is the best sound quality that we will have had on a podcast. Yeah. I haven't digested anything. I just signed on. As soon as the game ended, I signed right on. Okay. I can't believe it. I can't believe they won that game. It's 77 times in that game, I was like, it's over. They lose. It's fuck them. Yeah. I was starting to like get excited. Like, at least I don't have to do a podcast after every game. I can do this other thing I have this weekend. I was like, no. Game 6, necessary, coming back home. Unreal. Tyrese Maxey. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable level of shot making. 17 of 30 from the field. 46 shots. Points. 7 of 12 from 3.
Unbelievable.
The logo 3 to at the end of regulation is going to get, because the pull-up is unbelievable.
Yep. And he knew, like, he had to do it, by the way.
He knew he had to do it, and he knew he had to wait and see if he can draw something up. But the four-point play that Mitch Robinson fouled him on, where they initially called it a 2, and I thought it was a 3 at the time. I mean, they were down at an unbelievable level of shot-making. It was, Maxey was the entire offense for so much of this game. Joel only finished with 19 points. Oh, Joel had a triple-double. I did not know that.
Well, he had a quadruple-double, actually.
Almost. He had 9 turnovers.
Oh, I thought he had 10. Oh, he must, that last one, they must not have counted as a Embiid turnover.
Unbelievable. Maxey just kept bringing him back from the dead over and over again, over and over again. Drive, absorb contact, hit the floater. Weirdly missed 3 big free throws late.
Stunning, by the way.
Awful. A tough turnover that was frustrating, but like the free throws to ice it, the step back in overtime, they started leaving the reigning MVP to get the ball out of Tyrese Maxey's hands. They wanted literally anything else to happen. And he still burned him over and over again, 46, 9, and 5. He played 52 fucking minutes. I mean, he wasn't getting calls. Just a wonderful, truly wonderful performance to continue like Samwise Gamgee grabbing the Sixers off the fucking cliff and fucking yanking them back up in Mount Doom and saying, not today, one fucking more win for Tyrese Maxey. An unbelievable performance. Give him more than a max contract. Tobias, give him all Tobias's money. All Embiid's money, everybody's money, Doc Rivers's money. Everybody got to give Tyrese's money.
It's amazing, too, because game two would have been another one of these games for him if the end didn't happen as it happened, you know, because he did hit that basically the game-winning shot that they blew. So, funny thing about the four-point play.
Woo!
So, CJ and I... Where, by the way, Sixers are 3-point favorites at DraftKings Sportsbook in Game 6 on Thursday night. So CJ and I are texting, and I said to him, if we win, let's just jump on the stream and not talk about the game because there's going to be people there. So we'll just answer questions or whatever. So at a certain point, I go to pee when Maxey hit the 4-point play, the Knicks were up 4. We're up 5?
I think it was 6.
5 or 6. Okay.
I think it was 6, and then the 3, and then cut it to 2.
So I go to pee, and I come back, and I text CJ while I'm peeing with the Knicks up 6. Guess we'll start the pod when Mike is done watching the game, assuming it was a loss. I sit down. I see the 4-point play as I sit back down. Just a stunning turn of events. And here's what's weird about Maxey. And it was obviously an insane game from him. He had a lot of weird energy, I felt like, in the first half where he was sort of losing the ball. He fell down a couple of times. It almost felt like his brain was working faster than his body was.
God, he had 5 fouls. I didn't even know. Oh, my God.
Maxey did.
Yeah.
Wow. Outrageous. And it was so in line with how I felt like, and we'll get to Joel obviously momentarily, but the way that I felt like Joel's energy was in the beginning of the game, my gut was, oh, this is obviously a loss. Like, I've seen this game before. And when Maxey was sort of was doing that in the first half, I felt like he was off too, but boy, did he settle in, man. And it's
just so clear that like he is the offense right now. And Joel's obviously not 100%. And when he's not, like, Joel was not trusting the jumper, and we'll talk about that in a second, but like Joel wasn't working and the other guys weren't hitting shots, and it was just like, it's either going to be Maxey or it's not going to be anybody. And like, he started going at the rim, a gorgeous high finger roll with a guy on his hip, so much touch, some scoop floaters off the glass high over Hartenstein, a contested one off the glass to beat the second quarter buzzer. I mean, that movement just died over and over again at the points in this series when the Sixers offense stalled. It was Maxey stopped moving. They couldn't get Maxey the ball. They couldn't get Maxey on the run. And you could tell all game long, even though he didn't get so much going early on, it was like, he's going to be moving this entire game and running around screens and DHOs and attacking off movement. And it's just because it's so limiting when he's making him attack a set defense is such a limiting way to play. And that's why it was so frustrating watching everyone just stand there. And it's like, you got to be moving. You got to be the threat because he can pull up and step back so easily and obviously drive by you. And off the catch, you're worried about the shot and he blows the other way. And then you have to help. And then it's just so much movement comes from just Maxey being Maxey. And when at the points, obviously he's tired and he's getting leaned on and he's not getting those calls. But like the difference in Sixers offense, when Maxey is catching on the move or getting on the move or running through screens or whatever, versus not is huge. And it felt like all game long, he was like, you're going to have to worry about me the entire time. I'm not just going to stand in the corner and wait it out. I mean, the crossover to get free of McBride and hit the three was absolutely sick.
Yeah.
You know, the only weird thing for me with Maxey was like, obviously the free throws were tough, but he's totally just like removed the floater from his arsenal in the last couple games. I don't really understand it. Like,
I think it hurts him too, because he just sort of attacks the rim maybe a little too fast.
Yeah, sometimes. and if he's 6'6", he's dunking on those guys, but he's not. Yeah. And so he can't really dunk very often over traffic, especially the Knicks, who are athletic and long. And so there's times when it's like, man, that would be a floater in the regular season, but he's trying to go all the way to the rim to draw the foul, and he's just not getting those foul calls. Some of them are bad whistles, but also some of them are just like, I think he's going in without a plan sometimes. And by the end, he was just kind of spent. When he landed on his elbow, it was like, I think he's just very tired at this point from doing all of it. But he hit enough shots. I mean, I thought his defense was pretty damn good. I thought he did a good job on the glass, getting to floorboards first and boxing out bigger guys. What can you say? 7 of 12 from 3, 46 points in an elimination game in the fucking Garden, man.
Yeah, it was. He grew up a little bit tonight, I felt like.
He's grown as man. He's Hubie Brown's age now.
Yeah.
Fucking grown up as hell.
You know what's
unbelievable?
Wild? Hubie Brown's almost four times as old as Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
How old is Hubie Brown? He's like 90.
I think he's over four times as old. I think that's you're underselling it.
Well, that would be, Maxey's 23, right?
I don't know. 22.
That'd be 92.
If he's 22, then he's not four times as old. If he's 23, then he is.
Yeah, yeah. The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. As I mentioned, Sixers are now 3-point favorites in game 6. Let me look at the series line, which is actually interesting to me. Let's see. I can't find.
I can't believe there's another game. Oh my God.
I can't find the series props. Anyway.
Unreal.
Team props? Nah. Series props. Team futures? I don't know. Sixers are plus 3,500 to win the title. Throw 10 bucks down on it. Come on. Plus 3,500 to win the title. Throw 10 bucks on it. Do
the opposite. Just hedge forever.
Well,
hedge,
so funny hedge story. Eternally. So funny story. There's a guy named Max for DraftKings. Shout out Max, who reaches out to me once in a while. He's like, "Hey, do you guys want a same game parlay for the game?" So he reached out to me this morning and he's like, "Hey, emotional hedge, same game parlay today." And I said, "Max, everybody is far too mad for the emotional hedge one. We cannot do this one today." I said, "Maybe if they win game 5. You can do your own same game parlay with DraftKings Sportsbook. That is the only place you can bet the NBA playoffs, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Same game parlays, pick whatever one you want. The Sixers 3-point favorites, fucking load up on it. Why not? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code RTRS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. But you have to use code RTRS with our friends at DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be 21. See show notes for details.
I just watched the Maxey logo 3 again. Unbelievable. It's from the E.
Let me ask you,
with the game on the line.
Until the logo 3. Second half, what did you think, actually, starting in second quarter, what did you think the percentage chance the Sixers were going to win the game as you were watching it?
Well, it's so weird. I mean, watching, it's a totally different experience watching on delay.
Yes.
Like, I was checking on it during the game. I'm in the writer's room. I was just, like, kind of looking at my phone from time to time. Seeing,
oh, so
like,
you saw scores sometimes.
I saw scores. Usually, okay. I go radio silence, but I don't know. I just wanted to know, like, if they're going to lose by 40, I don't want to be invested in it. And so the last thing I saw was, I think I saw it going into fourth quarter or whatever, like, you know, it's a 1-point game.
By the
and
way,
so
per DraftKings, which we're getting live updates on, shout out Ethan, Sixers are plus 300 to win the series. So continue.
Yeah, so the fourth quarter started, and at that point I had my phone. I didn't look at it. I didn't know anything. And so it was weird going like, I know that it's going to get to the fourth quarter and it's going to be 1-point game. And then the fourth quarter happens and I felt like I was falling without a parachute. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's doing anything. I don't know if somebody gets hurt. I see my text messages piling up and I'm not looking at them. But I just, there were times where they stretch the lead a little bit and you feel like maybe this is it. Maybe they just pull away. And then they just like, the Knicks keep coming back and then no lead felt safe. Everything was like 5-6 max at that point in the game. And, you know, it was not a good Joel game.
No.
It was not a great Joel game, let's say. The shot's been off. He missed a few bunnies that he's been hitting all season. He has a wide open three, just like the end of game four, that he passes up and decides to drive instead. And then he tries a soft finger roll because they collapsed on him. And then OG has the block on him. That's just bad. That's just bad. It just can't happen. Like, especially when you're like, you're not explosive enough to finish over people right now. So like, you gotta take open shots, man. Like, you gotta take open shots.
What's wild about him too is when he goes out of the game and he played the entire second half, or they stole a couple minutes.
Fourth quarter, yeah,
with small ball. Yeah. But they're so clueless on offense without him out there that even when he's playing bad, somehow they look worse on offense when he's not in the game.
100%.
I mean, even when he's bad.
Absolutely. I want to talk about that in a second. Embiid has campaign open. He decides to shoot over Mitchell Robinson and gets blocked. It turns into a Knicks transition bucket. But like, even with all that stuff, the defense is always there. It's always there for him. Yeah, Brunson blew by him a couple times. That's going to happen. He had a couple, he walked into a couple threes over, and we'll talk about how they defended Brunson a little bit later. But I mean, some really, really great block on a Hartenstein dunk attempt, block on a Josh Hart drive to force a 24-second. After he did get scored on Brunson at the rim a couple times, Jalen tried to draw the body contact and didn't get enough. It was such a clear, initiate the contact and bounce off him, and Embiid sent the shot into the eighth row. I'm glad they made a no call on that.
Obviously, an elite grifter, Jalen Brunson.
Of course, and we have ours also, yeah. But I thought the flagrant was an insane call to make at that point in the game. Like, I don't think refs have ever seen a basketball game before. It's overtime in an elimination game, and Embiid's trying to block a shot, and he hit him because the face is on the way to the shot. It's just grow up. Grow up and don't make that call in that moment. Sometimes guys' faces are going to get hit because they're around where they're taking a shot, and they get bumped on that thing. There's a difference between it drives me fucking crazy, dude. I can't believe they made that call. Luckily, I got to fast forward through that stuff. Otherwise, I would have just imploded on national television.
Well, they don't base the, I know you don't care right now, but they don't base the call on intent. They base the call on what actually happened.
Which I think is just ridiculous. I think it's just ridiculous. A flagrant should be about intent. That was an overly aggressive play in that moment to do. It's just that just wasn't it. He was trying to block him and his face was there. That happens. And I don't think, by the way, the elbow when you're swinging the ball around should always be a flagrant. It just shouldn't. It's just those are basketball plays. Sometimes basketball plays happen. Sometimes face gets hurt in basketball. Your face is there. Anyway, some really bad passing from Joel. A couple good ones, obviously, a 10 assists. That was huge. But nine turnovers on sloppiness.
Before we go full Joel, CJ, can you put this up? A promise that Andrew Unterberger promised, if the Sixers win this game, I will
you got to get clearance. You got to get permits for that, buddy.
If the Sixers win this game, I will personally build a Mike Muscala statue outside of the Wells Fargo Center, a big one.
Not even the Iverson small one, well.
Sorry, buddy. We need you to do this. We need you there on Thursday. Building this statue.
Build it. Those passing turnovers, they were coming in hot. Some of them were careless, that he's done his whole career, just sort of thrown away, assuming it's going to go on the right place and not being focused, not being engaged. It kills me. Ala even called him out on it, which he rarely does. The worst one was facing up against a double team and sort of just one hand chucking it and getting taken the other way. At that point, I thought the game was over. That's when Nurse took Joel out in the fourth quarter and stole a couple minutes without him. But he does enough, man. He did enough. He did enough to do it. He was pretty decent. How many offensive rebounds did they have? They only had 6 offensive rebounds. Joel had 16 himself rebounds overall, 5 offensive. He started hitting a couple jumpers. It was off a maxi drive to draw in Mitch and toss to Joel back for 3. That was big. Then he settled into his mid-range game, hit a couple floater and one, hit a big and one that I think he missed the foul on I forget who it was, but a big, huge offensive rebound and putback off a Nico missed 3. He barely misses a hook that would have given the lead. There's just enough going. Even when he has Josh Hart on him, he tries to grift a foul and he doesn't get it. And then he just misses a bad shot. And that's just come on, you got to do it. But it's we're living with it. We're living and dying with it. The defense is good enough. And he's just the offense, even without him doing so much, still looks better with him just being there. I hated Joel posting up late so much. I hated it.
Yeah.
So much. No actions, no movement.
Well, just run a high pick and roll with
run
Maxie
the same
and
double drag that you've been running all series. Get somebody movement, make them make a decision, see if somebody can get open. The idea that Joel, at this stage in the game, 48 minutes into it, whatever, is going to post up Mitchell Robinson and something good's going to happen when he has 9 turnovers already. It's just it was really bad. They go away from that and Maxie got hot. Joel did get, had a nice look to Oubre off a drive. I appreciated that. And then the drawing the contact on Deuce McBride and hitting the jumper and one late was really big. And so it was some of everything. It was a James Harden red blend of a Joel game, something for everybody. If you thought he was a loser that doesn't care about it, that doesn't show up in big games, you got it. He only got to the line 6 times, which is crazy. If you thought he's like carrying the team by himself because he was a plus 14 and they couldn't survive without him, you obviously got that. He had a triple-double. He had 4 blocks. He dives on the ground for the biggest rebound of the game. That felt like it was momentous for me, at least, that he fucking got that goddamn rebound. Yeah. And Nick Nurse gets the timeout. It was something for everybody. So thank you to James Harden for that.
We spent the entire show today on WIP, me saying that I believed that Embiid was going to stand up tonight. I didn't know if they would win or not win, but we were going to get a true Embiid game. Where did Mike go? Did Mike die? Oh, there he is. There he is. Okay. Because of the background, when you disappear, yeah, it looks like you've
I'm still reacting completely to the game. I haven't come down yet. I'm fucking driving 100 miles an hour here.
So it's funny watching this game. I started thinking toward the very, very end, man, if they win this, I don't even know what the fuck to say about Joel. Here's the thing about Joel. Did he compete on defense? Absolutely. Did he rebound the ball well? Absolutely. 100%. The energy was not right, was not good for a game like this. The team, you can have PJ Tuckers, you can have Patrick Beverleys, you can have all those guys, but like by and large, the team needs to follow the energy of the best player on the team. The best player on the team sets that energy. He did such a good job of that in game 3. Now, it's also good that he scored 50 points, but he did a great job setting that energy. He did not set that energy tonight. And with that energy, seems like those sloppy passes come with this Joel energy. Now, I give him credit for competing defensively and competing from a rebound perspective. And he won the game for them in game 3. And today they saved him a little bit, even. But like you can't, he is too important from like an emotional perspective for the team. They do follow him. He is too important to come out visually and emotionally. Like, and that isn't to say, I understand the knee thing. I understand the Bell's palsy. I understand all those things, but you're either playing or you're not. And he's playing. And if he's going to play and be that guy, he just emotionally, he has to be more there than he was tonight. And 10 turnovers or 9 turnovers is just, but now it was interesting because in the beginning of the game, this reminded me of the Nets series that you weren't here for last year, but the Nets series, they doubled him on touch every time. And he was getting rid of the ball very early in the shot clock. As soon as they would double him, he moved the ball. And in the first half, he was making the right basic pass out of the double team, and they were getting wide open threes, and we were just missing them. And he was doing the right thing. And I felt like even though the shot wasn't there, he was doing the right thing. But he got frustrated and tired, and that's when the turnovers came there.
And he got frustrated that his team started missing shots. Like the first quarter, they were just missing so many open threes. The shots just like weren't falling for role players. And it's like what felt like was happening was a thing that Daryl would probably just explain away of just like, you know, we missed shots. We should have made them. If the threes went in, it'd be a different game. And it's like a little bit of that, but it's a little bit of other stuff also. And it was like, it felt like the Knicks were allowed to help off shooters and not get burned. Yes. And the Sixers couldn't help on shooters without getting burned.
Yes.
If you make Dante DiVincenzo, Deuce McBride, and OG Anunoby like shoot off the catch, they're going to hit those shots. They're going to be good enough to hit those shots. And when there were a couple times when they had to take shots off the dribble, and that's like one of my biggest basketball like core principles is make role players try to take shots off the dribble and make them make contest shots. And if you just run them off the line, then something good will happen. And that seemed to be the case tonight. What did the Knicks shoot? Knicks didn't shoot well from three tonight. Helps. I mean, it's at a certain point, you just
make
go
or
like,
miss
oh,
league.
A little bit, league, a little bit make or miss league towards the end there, especially when Tyrese got hot.
And by the way, in that first half, when you have all those open threes, boy, that is where
Kills.
Buddy Hield not being playable is crushing.
Yeah.
Because I would much rather have Buddy Hield taking that shot than Kelly or Tobias.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Tobias.
Got to talk about Tobias.
He hit a big bucket. He hit those fucking free throws.
Bunch of big buckets. 17, 19 points on 11 shots. Tobias, plus 11, second on the team.
By the
Tobias, maybe his last game ever as a Sixer. Not yet.
By the way.
Contract expired?
Not yet. By the way, 19 points. That's all you have to do, buddy. That's all.
They tried. They tried to get him going early. It felt like they've done that a bunch of times this series. It felt like where they're like, "Please get going. Anything out of you? We're just going to keep trying to start out the game where it's like we're going to drop six out of the first 10 plays are going to be Tobias plays, and it just they seem to have another choice. They got a cut middle and a good pass from Lowry for a layup. He hit three corner threes in the game. He was 3 of 6 from deep. God bless him. The only guy to hit a corner three all game. I'm pretty sure. I think the Sixers were 0 for everything else from the corner. He had a couple good strips on OG. That was pretty big. You know, he did what he could on Brunson. He's just not fast enough to move with him or quick or long enough to like affect a contest. And then some really lazy work in the fourth quarter to foul Jalen on the continuation and one as he was like arguing with the refs. It was just like an indication of the stiffest hips in the league, Tobias Harris. I hated a helpless pull-up 14-foot jumper in transition 1-on-3. That one fucking
that was
encapsulation.
Terrible.
Absolutely wanted me to drown myself.
Yeah.
But he did finally get a few back downs to work, finally punished like the smaller guys covering him. Like, that's what you got to do. You got to take open shots. You got to hit a couple of them. And you got to, if they're going to cover you with Jalen Brunson or Dante DiVincenzo, you're 6 inches bigger than those guys. It's like, make him pay for it. And he did it in a balanced way, and that was big. And the tough... This was Barrett. I don't even remember what quarter it was, third or fourth. I think it might have been during the non-Embiid few minutes in the fourth. Big shot clock winding down, tough contested jump shot over OG Anunoby that Tobias has missed all series. And that was a huge, like, guys, that's one guy in the back of an arena goes, he's a bucket, like right there in that moment. Like, and he's not, and he hasn't been, but thank God that one guy believed, Jason Lipschutz. And then, man, 16 seconds left in overtime, hitting both free throws when the Sixers have given so many games away in that moment to hit both his only free throws of the game because he doesn't get to the goddamn line.
They were like his, Fritz said to me in text, they were like his Andre Iguodala farewell free throws.
Yes, exactly. But that was huge. I mean, the non-Embiid, it was a, you know, my just as big of a problem as, I was going to say this for later, but because we're talking about Tobias. Just as big of a problem as the rebounding, which wasn't a problem tonight. They did box out. They did do it pretty consistently. Obviously, the Knicks still got a couple, but like that's going to happen. Really did clean that up really, really well. But just as big of a problem, and maybe bigger, is that they cannot match up quickly in transition. And those things go hand in hand. The fact like the Knicks can crash an offensive glass and get all the rebounds on the defensive glass, and the Knicks can still get out in transition and score in that way, is infuriating. And Tobias is so often the culprit. He constantly loses his man. He just ball watches. He drops too far. He doesn't find the trailer. He at one point switched off Brunson to help on a Deuce McBride drive with Embiid behind him protecting the rim. Like, he just can't help himself. Like, for a guy that is known to be like a pretty smart player, a heady player, is in the right place at the right time, like, he's seemingly always getting burned by like ball watching as his man steps into a wide open three with 20 feet of space. I'd honestly rather in transition just like grab them and foul them. They just give up so much in transition, which is such a bummer because, again, in this game, the defense was pretty good. Like, the half-court defense is great. And to give up, not in this game, but offensive rebounds and then transition opportunities, especially when Brunson's on the bench, like, transition opportunities just kill them because they don't have other ways to score. And it blows my mind that that's the one thing that they have not cleaned up is communicating and matching up in transition. The Knicks do it so, so well. And Tobias really, really crushed me on that a couple times tonight.
The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Mortgage CS. We love Mortgage CS. We love our partners. Mortgage CS is the only place you got to use if you need a mortgage. That's why they call themselves Mortgage CS. CS stands for Concierge Service. They are going to give you personal, informative, friendly, great service as your mortgage broker. What a mortgage broker does is they don't have the money to lend out. They go to the mortgage lenders and find the mortgage for you. The best thing about them being independent, which they are, is that their only responsibility is to you. The bigger mortgage brokers, if you Google, where should I get a mortgage? The first ones that pop up, first of all, when you put your email address in there, you're never going to stop getting emails from them. It'll be incessant for the rest of your life. The second thing is they have deals with banks that you don't know about. You don't know about those deals. So they could be leading you away that benefits them that you don't know about, might not benefit you as much. Mortgage CS does not. They're independent. They are there for you whenever you need them. They're responsive every minute of the day, every day of the week. Here is Ben, the CEO's cell phone number, 267-391-7425. That is 267-391-7425. Call them or text them at any point. That is, if you're looking for a house. And by the way, the market is so competitive right now, you might need a pre-qualification letter on Thursday at 8 o'clock. They're there for you. Super competitive market. And when there is a super competitive market, having any edge helps you get the house. Mortgage CS will help you win your bid. They'll give you tips on how to bid competitively. They will call the listing agent when your bid is in. Part of getting your bid accepted is them believing that the mortgage is actually going to happen. They will call, assure them it's going to happen. They've got a great reputation. They're always available. We love Mortgage CS. We love them. Go to mortgagecs.com/Ricky to schedule your one-on-one consultation. MortgageCS.com/Ricky, and they created such a great site for us as well. Or you can call or text Ben at any point, 267-391-7425. There's a lot of people watching right now. You call or text Ben right now. See if he's fired up. 267-391-7425. If you don't believe me, look at all the great Google reviews. There's hundreds of them, all five stars. Again, mortgagecs.com/Ricky or Ben at 267-391-7425. This advertisement is not a commitment to lend or extend credit. Mortgage CS is an equal housing opportunity mortgage broker. All loans are subject to credit approval. Certain restrictions may apply. Company NMLS 1464766. Visit mortgagecs.com/Ricky for more information.
A couple big things that we haven't talked about yet.
I want to talk things. About... Oh, okay, you.
After last game, when Lowry misses the free throw intentionally, Maxey was not aware he was going to do so, and then they gave up an opportunity to tie the game there. To a smart, very smart, so often done wrong, waiting to foul. There was like 25 seconds left in regulation.
Yes, waiting to
foul
15.
Until the person that they wanted to have foul. The ball fouled. They didn't just foul Brunson right away.
It was Hart,
they didn't just
right?
wait. They fouled Josh Hart, and who fouled Josh Hart but Nick fucking Batum. Great, great play. Josh Hart, who played 53 minutes in this game. That's all of them. And I'm going to say, yes.
Wow.
And I'm going to say, that's why he missed the free throws. Yeah. You can't play. He also had exactly zero offensive rebounds. That is Nick Nurse, who I called out last podcast, scheming to make sure that doesn't fucking happen
because he's a listener.
crushing them on the offensive glass. So Batum fouls him. He splits the free throws, gives Maxey a chance to tie it. A great job staying with Brunson on the last play of regulation. Huge block, sliding those beautiful French feet without fouling. Unbelievable.
I was sliding my feet.
There you go. Still, always a surprise that it's a decent impression. Batum to Oubre to take the lead on a cut. Could have been an alley-oop. Oubre almost fumbled it, but it was a great play that Nurse drew up and to get Oubre wide open, and Batum made that pass. And then one of my favorite plays, because it happens to the Sixers all the goddamn time, and to see it happen to somebody else was so sweet. Brunson, ISO. Nick Batum on him, Hartenstein in the corner, Brunson step back, goes to rise up. Batum contests so well that Brunson has to make the pass.
Passes
as
it.
As Hartenstein is cutting for an offensive rebound to crash the glass. Turnover, that was pretty much the game. Huge stuff. And Batum, you know, missed open threes, didn't impact the game too much on the offensive end, but like those heady plays to make that shit happen. Also 8 big rebounds in 33 minutes. Also, he had a really horrible pass to a wide open Maxey in transition that I thought was like, as soon as that pass missed, I was like, oh, the game's over, they're losing. But really, really big stuff out of Nick Batum, and it after some like brain dead mistakes in the last couple games to win this one, because that one fouling the right guy, trusting that he would split, and he almost missed both, and then those couple defensive plays, man, Really, really big. I love that shit, man. I love Nick Batum. I'm so happy he was here.
I study a lot of film and I see the, with Brunson, his tendencies.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Can we talk about Campaign?
Yes.
Bro.
Campaign, man.
This dude has the biggest nuts on the planet.
Unreal.
He's got the biggest nuts on the planet. And I say it every fucking time. The thing I love most about Campaign is he fucking loves being out there.
Yeah.
He loves it. He loves balling. There is no fear. He's got the ugliest jump shot in the history of the NBA. Yep. But I think I said to you, it was probably a month ago, that every time Campaign shoots, I think it's going in.
Yeah.
I still feel that way. And I'm glad that, what did he play, 15 minutes tonight?
14, yeah.
So, yeah. And he is the right guy to be playing those 15 minutes. Absolutely. He is not scared. He is a good shooter. He feels like he hits every open shot he takes.
Yeah.
And he gives them, I was talking about Embiid's bad energy. Campaign is the energy they need on the court right there. You know, it's like Pat Bev without the trolley, you know, hurting somebody stuff. I love Campaign, and I did not expect to love him. I thought he was going to suck, but he's been like a godsend in this series.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those threes were big. And I just, he only had one assist, but his ability to just beat somebody off the dribble and then do something with it in the mid-range. He had that floater. He hit a shot last game off of it. He can touch paint and spray it out. Like, that offense looks so much better when somebody is driving and collapsing the defense or making them pay with a little, like, open floater if they don't. And he was really good. Really big. I mean, I love, the playoffs are so fun because, like, random shit like this happens. All of a sudden, Campaign becomes one of your favorite Sixers of all time because of this, like, small increment runs that he's on.
But they're perfect. They're exactly
great.
What they need.
They're great.
When he's in there.
I might give him more minutes, honestly. I might give him minutes. I might play him. Like, he's obviously not a great defensive player and he's more exploitable. But, like, if you can sit in a zone with Maxi and Payne at the top of it and just say, like, all right, you know, hit shots over it. They're going to be contested, whatever. Then, like, you can allow Maxi to come, like, off screens and work off ball a little bit more while Payne can also attack the rim. It feels like that could be interesting. I might try it out, play them a little bit more together.
People keep saying in the chat that I look like Campaign. I don't look like Campaign, do I?
There might be a face shape situation happening.
Shit.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Well, he's got big foot. We have the same size balls.
The same sized balls. Prove it. No Melton tonight. I think that was probably the right call. He just didn't look right.
Yeah. By the way, the most brain dead Kyle Lowry run of the entire Sixers, like, just a couple of brain dead plays was just,
you know, he didn't do much like positive, but it just felt like he was a beat behind on those rotation, which he normally gets strips on. And instead he gave up like a couple and ones, which really killed. Nothing really to report from a Kyle Lowry. I'm still happy he's there. Good to be around, but he's the kind of guy where if he's not getting something going and you can feel like the offense sags because he's not hitting threes and he's not like that much of a threat to drive anymore, then that might be a time when you go like, oh, I'll pull him for Campaign. Or what they did do, which is Maxi and everybody else big, finish with size. And so it was Maxi with Oubre at the two, Tobias and Batum as the wings and Embiid. And that I'm sure also helped them prevent the Knicks from getting some offensive rebounds. The non-Embiid minutes, it's so frustrating because, like, obviously B-Ball didn't play great.
He was
a couple games in a row.
Yeah. Like, you know what was crazy to me is the way that he's not playing great is it's his brain sizzling a little bit in that he is doing things he should not be trying to do. You know, like, don't attack that B-Ball, like, pass that back out to the perimeter. I just always feel like when he has too many decisions to make that he is worse. And I thought he was like specifically bad these last two games. I was disappointed.
Yeah. There's so few, the sample size is so small. And like he didn't play well and that's that. And it's certain, but everything gets magnified over such a small period of time. And the Knicks know how good they are in the non-Embiid minutes. And the Sixers know how bad they are in the non-Embiid minutes. And you're just like, everybody's clenching everything in that moment to go like, can we just survive it? And it just feels like the Sixers get snake bit in that moment. Like Maxey had a rolling B-ball for a dunk. Maxey takes a layup for himself. It rattled out. B-ball has an opportunity for the putback, but he fumbles it. Then B-ball has a dunk off a drive. Mitch Robinson, great recovery block. It goes off B-ball out of bounds. It's just, there's so many that's kind of fumbling. Like those minutes without Embiid just feel so uniquely futile. And like so specifically, like, God, if that's just one thing, the Knicks steal so many transition points and offensive rebounds with Brunson out, and the Sixers feel like all the wrong bounces happen in those non-Embiid minutes. And that feels like that's been the difference for the most part in this series. I mean, even Maxey missed both of his free throws. He gets fouled finally. He goes to the line. He missed both free throws during those non-Embiid minutes in the fourth. It just crushes you, man. It just fucking crushes you. You're like, can we just survive this? And it's like, no, all the bad things are happening in this like 3-minute stretch. And then I think, to Nick's credit, went small ball without B-ball in the fourth. I think that was the right call. I don't think it's necessarily sustainable. I again will make the case for KJ Martin and Ricky Council. I think just give him a shot. Give me some juice. Give me some new legs. Everybody's tired. See if somebody can do something. Campaign did something earlier in the series, and he's been a staple now. Like, can we just try it? Surprise them. The Knicks not knowing how to guard somebody or what to expect. It's just, these teams know each other so well now. Like, somebody with fresh legs and just like a little wild man energy might be nice. But for the most part, like, they did what they had to do. The shots started falling with Tyrese later on. The rebounding, like, they prevented some early rebounds by getting some strips early. Embiid did a pretty good job of keeping Mitch Robinson and Hartenstein at bay, even though Mitch does such a good job of getting physical early on in his position, and Hartenstein walks him down low and jumps first and taps it back and they get those threes off the offensive rebounds. I thought Tobias did a pretty decent job on the glass on both ends fighting. Yeah, I mean, just survive, man. Like, so much of it was survive. I think there were a couple broken plays that, like, Oubre got points on. It was just, it was nice to see. I think he had a couple tip-ins in this game. It was nice to see us, like, benefit on, the like, some length and athleticism for a change. Fred Katz, speaking of Oubre, we haven't talked about him that much. Fred Katz said that Oubre did the best job on Brunson on low post. Said that Oubre did the best job on Brunson that anybody has all season. He blew up a dribble handoff for a turnover. He knocked it off Brunson on an inbounds play. That was great. He forced a moving screen on Hartenstein by sliding his feet. If he can just stay focused and locked in and not drift for a moment, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, fuck, my guy's over there. He's so good there. He's so long and balanced, and he's physical, and he does a pretty good job of doing it without fouling on drives. Weirdly, fouls on jumpers more than he should. But he's been great. Had a huge drive late to keep hope alive in regulation. That was huge.
That ball hung on the rim for what seemed like...
Oh, my God. He's got such a weird touch around there. And yeah. it was just like dancing on the rim for a while.
Yeah.
He attacked off a miss during the 9 and B minutes, had an and-one on like a semi-transition. That was big. That's what the Knicks do during non-Brunson. Like, if you can beat him in transition, like, something good can happen there. And it was nice to see Oubre do that. It was just like enough good stuff happened, and they withstood like a 21-2 run to start the second quarter when the offense just dies. They fall asleep sometimes. It's like they're such an imperfect team. There's so many problem areas, and you're trying to plug all the holes at once. And like, thank God that they did that for enough time, and Maxey kept dragging them off the cliff onto safety for enough times. And did you see Nick Nurse broke his finger?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Being pissed off at the refs.
Just like me for real, isn't he? Isn't he, Nick Nurse?
So I have an excruciating Embiid quote right after Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. BigBarker.com/Ricky or the link, you know what? I will throw the link in the chat right now. The link in the chat for this special Big Barker t-shirt. There's Rebel dunking on a couple of fools. Thanks, Mike Pfeffer, for this. Looks like a Slam t-shirt, but it's a Bark t-shirt. And these are first come, first serve. You got to go to the link. It's in the chat if you're watching on YouTube, but if you're listening to the pod, it is in the description. Now, what is great about Big Barker? I guess the question is, what isn't great about Big Barker? Nothing. Big Barker, first of all, looks great in your home. It's a good looking dog bed. You can keep it in your bedroom, keep it in your living room, comes in every color. It's got like a little like velour kind of finish to it. You can get you get different covers for it, all that kind of stuff. But here's the best thing. It keeps your dog healthier. keeps your dog healthier. I mean, I shouldn't even have to tell you anything after that. How does it keep your dog healthier? It supports your dog's joints. Your dog, you can't have your dog sleeping on a bad bed. Imagine if you slept on a bad bed. Even once I sleep on a bad bed in the Airbnb, I'm like, I'm mopey, I'm whining, I'm cracking my back. You have your dog sleeping on a bad bed every single night, your dog's gonna feel like shit. Your dog can't speak English and can't tell you that he feels bad. Get your dog a big barker so your dog stays healthier. It is engineered by, and happier, it is engineered by experts to make sure your dog fights off the arthritis that can happen as your dog gets older. It happens to dogs just like it happens to people. PenVet did a study. They found an improvement in joint function, a reduction in pain severity, a reduction in joint stiffness, an improvement in gait. All those things happen. And you can just see the difference. If you go to bigbarker.com/Ricky or go to the link in the description so you can get this t-shirt, you can see the difference. When you look at the picture, you can see the dog on the dog bed. It doesn't sink all the way to the bottom like the one that you got at the pet store for $40. It's a real bed. Get your dog a real bed. A 10-year warranty. The foam doesn't flatten or they replace it for free. A 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it or your dog doesn't like it, they will give you a full refund and pay for the shipping. It's handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds. Boom. Joel Embiid on being a Knicks villain. It's not hostile. I love New York. New York is my favorite city in the world. I've had a place here for the past 5 years. I just love New York. If I've got to be the punching bag and you hear a lot of FMB, that's okay. I love it. You didn't have to do the part in the middle, Joe.
No, he didn't.
Like, what the no, fuck is didn't. Your problem?
No, he did.
Fucking stop it.
Guy's trolling. He's trolling pretty good. Effectively. Unfortunately. Didn't need to hear it.
No.
Like it didn't need to hear it.
Not at all.
As far as covering Brunson goes, another really fucking good game for that dude, man. Played 51 minutes.
He's good.
15 of 32 from the field for 40 points.
He's pretty good.
4 of 11 from 3, 6 of 9 from deep. Only 6 assists, 4 turnovers. He started out a little cold. It felt like he was pulling up and shooting tough shots over long contests, and Embiid was always there to, like, on drives to show length and stuff. A couple times, they would set that screen high, and then either Batum or Oubre, one time it was Batum really got caught on the screen. This was in overtime, and Joel was dropping, and Jalen stepped into a three to tie it. I would really rather them, especially if they set that screen high, go under those screens, because he's not that good of a, like, deep three-point taker. He needs those. He's such a mid-range guy. Almost like DeRozan-y a little bit, in that, like, he needs to step into the three to feel good about it, and from that distance, he's just not that effective as much as he is when you can step into it. And the alternative is Joel trying to meet him at the level, and Jalen blows by him, which happened a bunch of times, or like Batum or Oubre trying to get around the screen fast enough, and they just don't. When he has space to take it, I would rather him try to take those threes. If you're going to go under and he's going to pull up from like 28, he's having to shoot that over the guy screening. And I think that's something I'd rather live with than him, like, walking into Joel, you know, 10 feet off of him and stepping into that three.
He makes shots, man. Like,
he does. He definitely does.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm honestly, every time he lets go of a shot, I'm scared.
Yeah.
And the only good thing about the specific weakness he has is that he is not great creating for others. Like, he's a maxi level, maybe even not even maxi level, sort of creator for others and passer. He's a great scorer. He's an absolutely great scorer. I think if he was a better passer and had sort of better court vision, he would be he's already murder. But I think that's the one sort of advantage you have guarding him, is that you're not sort of worried about him finding the guy across the court, or, like, he's an okay passer, but he's an outrageous scorer.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. I mean, you know, he's so balanced.
Yeah,
that the threat of the pass is there because he doesn't ever overcommit to the drive the way Maxey does sometimes. For the most, it felt like this game was we are not, you know, Hartenstein didn't have any floaters. He had that one weird jumper that I was annoyed went in. But after hitting, he had like 14, 16 points in the last game.
He hit every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Infuriating. They didn't give
jumper
him any
in the first 5 minutes of the game. I was like, oh no, here we go.
They didn't give him any this time.
Yeah.
And I think it was, we're going to make you make the cross-court pass to the shooter and we're going to hopefully get out in time. They weren't leaving Josh Hart open. The one time they left him wide open was the one he made. He was 0 of 5 otherwise. It felt like, as much as it is, it's like we are going to make they. It seemed like they were playing the kind of defense I wanted them to play, which is we're going to make Brunson take tough shots. I think Embiid always didn't do a great job of that. I think that you could go under sometimes, as I said, and you can have, you know, Tobias. If you know, I wouldn't mind if Tobias didn't leave him to help on Deuce McBride sometimes, but it felt like we're going to make Brunson beat us. And in 51 minutes, he was a -9. And it's I understand it's counterintuitive and it's frustrating, it's backbreaking, but like making that guy do everything for them and not giving them wide open looks otherwise, I think is the best chance. And then they have to hit, their shooters have to hit tough contested shots, which sometimes they do. Deuce McBride, it says he was 6 for 11. To me, it felt like he was 20 of 20. Deuce McBride has never missed in my eyes. I don't believe it. It's unbelievable.
I'm sure every single one of them is going in.
Everyone.
By the way.
Yeah. Everyone. And Anunoby was also pretty good tonight. Like, you got to take your chances on them taking contested threes and making them make plays off the dribble. But I would really rather, if we can prevent Brunson from getting all the way to the rim, forcing him to take floaters over Joel, which he can make, but is a tougher shot and makes him and taxes him more. And I think they did a pretty good job of at least going at him a couple times. I wouldn't mind trying to get him in foul trouble more often if Maxi has him on a switch to keep doing that. Maxi did get fouled one time. I forget if it was him or not, but they didn't call it. Because if you can get Brunson in foul trouble, then like they're hanging by a thread. They don't have enough guys that can beat anybody else off the dribble if you play him straight. But they did enough, man. From the brink, over and over again, 6-0 boards, not giving in wide open threes. Not making too many stupid fouls, turning them over enough, making the other guys that are not Brunson make some mistakes. If we can clean up those Embiid turnovers, which were annoying, if we can get Embiid like going again in his like bread and butter stuff, and if some of the other guys can keep hitting shots, then
just win one more game,
one at a time, baby.
Just win one more game and
one
see what happens.
One at a fucking time,
you know.
Yeah, see what happens. We're always great in Game 7. That's no problem. Oh, thank God they won, man.
Yeah. I didn't want to lose this one. And I got to go to WFAN tomorrow morning.
I mean, it was so close to being the first Boston series that this era of basketball has played when it was a close five-game series. And you're like, is a five-game series really close? And it's like, yes, it is. It is very close. And these games were close. And a lot of them could have been a coin flip. And it's thank God for Maxi, man. Thank God for Mike Muscala. Thank God for AU building the Mike Muscala statue, unpermitted. Unreal. Some unreal stuff. I want to see. I liked what I saw from Nick Nurse today. I actually especially like him breaking his finger, smashing his hand on the table.
I'm sure you would love that.
I love that. That's what I need to see. Doc would never. But I would like another surprise wrinkle. Give me a little surprise, somebody else, Stone Cold coming in through the back and it's Ricky Council in a Stone Cold shirt. Like, give me somebody with some juice because these guys are tired, dude. Both teams, especially with Boyan out for the series. Mitch is still like kind of on one foot. He was definitely not 100%, but he's long enough and smart enough and plays within himself enough, Mitch Robinson, to like make plays happen. He was a plus two in 25 minutes, Hartenstein a -9. This is such a fucking dogfight. Survive in advance, and I wouldn't mind bringing somebody in with a little freshness.
One last thing, Knicks fans, you can eat a dick. You can just eat a giant dick that you don't want to eat. I know some people do want to eat dicks, and that's fine. But I want you to eat a dick that you don't want to eat. Like, fuck you guys. I fucking can't stand you guys. I fucking from the depths of my soul, eat a dick, eat a dick, eat a dick.
Oh, that fucking flagrant foul. If they lost, you would have never heard from me again. If they lost by fucking one on that flagrant foul. Unbelievable.
Just eat a dick. Okay. We have game six on Thursday night.
They haven't announced the time yet, have they?
It depends on the Bucks game.
We're going to have to do this exact thing again.
Well, no, there's a chance the game could be at 9 o'clock, right? If Milwaukee wins.
If the Bucks win, it's at 9 o'clock. If it's,
oh, yeah. I am. Come on, Doc.
The Bucks are up 17 right now.
Oh,
there we go.
That would be big.
And I can sleep later on Friday because I don't have a fucking... I actually am not working on Friday. Well, I'm working for Fan, but whatever.
That'd be so nice. I might still record the podcast here.
Yeah, just...
to avoid the drive.
Yeah.
We'll see. Oh, my God.
CJ's YouTube TV again.
I got you, CJ. You can't kick me out now. I live here.
Yeah.
I live with CJ now.
I love you podcasting from the beyond or whatever.
From the beyond.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
It's a very nice screening room. If I was smarter, I could find a way to watch the game on the big screen, but then I am liable to punch a hole in it. So maybe I should do that. Maybe I should keep watching it on my laptop.
That'd be bad.
Whoo! Thank God, man.
Just a quick question. I know you're not allowed to talk about this. Just blink twice if it's true. Is the movie with Emma Stone about this game?
Yes.
That's the plot.
Yes. I pre-wrote it. You know how like Sixers Adam pre-writes his recaps. Like I pre-wrote the movie to be like about this game.
By the way, did Sixers Adam texted you?
He was texting
you?
Us. I didn't look at it.
Oh, okay.
I have so many missed unread texts.
Okay.
What's he talking about?
Well, he was talking about somebody at the game was saying that they couldn't listen, couldn't wait to listen to the Ricky. I won't say the name of the person who it is, but.
No way. This is no way this is true. He said it's 95%.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, Adam. Oh, I forgot to tell you something. Friend of mine was in a meeting with Tommy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Closest we've come.
Wow.
Any day now. Any day now, he's going to come knocking and say, I've heard all the shit you've been saying. And I'm going to be like, you're totally right.
Well, no, he does hate us, by the way. Like,
sure.
I think I've told that on the pod. Like,
I just don't know why, what his purpose is or why he exists. I don't think that's
no
nothing
offense.
Personal. That's no offense. That's nothing personal. I just don't know what his role in the world is. That's all. That's all I'm saying. That's all. I can't say that anymore. He's totally right. 100%.
All right.
Woo!
We'll talk to you on Thursday night. Let's go Doc so we get a 9 o'clock game.
Ah!
And if it's 9 o'clock game, I think the last train back to New York is 11. So they're never even going to be able to get back that night. They'll be stranded.
Oh, one game at a time. One game at a time.
One game at a time.
One game at a time.
One game at a time.
Oh my God.
One game at a time. Okay. Unreal. Sixers win. Maxie's the best. Knick fans. Me. Eat a dick. AU, build a statue. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah, you know fucking lick face. Let's go!
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.
This episode of The Ricky is now finished, but we did a longer filter in since Mike had to watch the game on a delay. So here is that section of Spike and I waiting for Mike, fielding questions from the chat, and not discussing the Sixers for 38 minutes after an incredible game. Here we are.
I'm actually going to tweet out what we're doing. Hang on. Oh, I have the wrong... had to unlog out of everything to try to get.
If you follow the pod on Twitter, or if you've been, I don't know if you've put out any other places, Mike had to work a little late today. So he
has no idea what happened.
No idea what happened. He's probably midway through, if not done the third quarter of the game right now, which
means speeding through it. Yeah.
Which means he has not yet experienced that glorious, glorious ending.
One, two, three, four. There we go.
Oh, man. So we're going to do a little...
We're just going to hang out for a little bit, you know?
Soaking in the good energy. Any questions?
Yeah. CJ, if you could keep an eye on questions, I'm trying to log on to the... to get the link from the... I guess I just don't need to go to the Ricky YouTube to get the link. Everything's going too fast to answer the question. So if you see any good, anything good. Yeah. So we could be literally hanging out here and we're not even really going to talk about the game because we want to wait for Mike. So if you have any non-game questions, this is like the longest filtering of all time. Mike has no... Isn't it great? Mike has no idea that the Sixers won the game. None.
Not a clue.
Hang on. We are hanging out on YouTube just waiting for Mike to finish the game.
Man.
So it's funny. I have to go to WFAN tomorrow morning. It's my last Wednesday morning going there. And I said on the air today, the Sixers have to win because I cannot have my last day there be the day after the Knicks eliminate the Sixers.
Oh, that would have been awful.
It would have been terrible. Favorite Bruce Willis movie? Do you have a favorite Bruce Willis movie?
I don't think I can name more than like Die Hard.
So I love 12 Monkeys, actually. So I'm going to go with 12 Monkeys. Even though Die Hard's a better movie, I really like 12 Monkeys. Any non-Sixers questions? We're waiting for Mike. So
while I was thinking we should have like had him prop up a camera to get his reaction, but like that wouldn't have worked in any other environment than how this game ended.
Right, right. So. And we're texting him. I'm trying to not tell him what happened by like, you know what I mean? Like he's giving us updates as to what finished and we're just ignoring him or whatever. Cause I don't want to tell him. Favorite Lana Del Rey song. Oh, favorite horror movies you've seen. Oh my God.
Have you seen Creep? Creep and Creep 2?
Dude, I love Creep.
Yeah. I loved Creep.
I loved Creep. And my wife can't watch like hand cam found footage sort of movies. So she can't watch it, but cause it makes her nauseous. Mm. But Creep, I haven't watched Creep 2. Is it good?
I liked it. Yeah. It was like the premise of Creep. Everyone tuning in right now is probably incredibly mad that we're not talking about what's going on.
Yeah. We're waiting for Mike. Mike, just another update. Mike had to catch up watching it. So he's watching it on DVR. He's speeding through it. A couple of people asked me about seeing Civil War. I actually was... I didn't see any real previews for it. Like I only saw the teaser type preview, which is good because I don't like seeing previews and I didn't read any reviews. I thought it was boring and it mostly stunk. I wanted to like it. Who's the blonde that was in it? I liked everybody who acted in it. And the concept, I guess I liked it. I just thought it was kind of boring. At least it wasn't I thought it was going to be like a condescending moral lesson movie, which is not really what it was. So that was good, I guess.
How often do I audibly react to things on the pod and remain unmuted or remain muted? Not every pod, but definitely sometimes I'll like make a comment just like you guys are talking about something and I have a take and I'm like, well, it's not big enough that I'm going to like
jump in on
and interrupt, but I have thoughts.
I did see Kirsten Dunst. So Kirsten Dunst, I loved. I'm like a big fan of hers. And the girl that was in Devs, who played Lyndon in Devs, was the younger girl who I thought was very good. Who I thought was very good in Devs. But the movie was just, I didn't like get the point. How many kindergartners could you fend off if they attacked this second? How old is a kindergartner? 7?
Oh, no. Eight, nine, five.
Oh. I don't know.
I think like 5 or 6.
10. Hit one of them.
Yeah, you hit one of them, but then, I don't know, like Norman jumped on me today, and for a second I was like, okay, if there was like 5 of these right now, that'd be tough, and
yeah.
they're probably about the same weight.
There are some, we're waiting for Mike. Mike is finishing the game.
I made a new intro video that will not be released today due to certain circumstances.
Oh, because you thought we were going to lose.
That's right.
That's so good.
Also, I was going to see, have you heard of Royal Otis, the band Royal Otis?
Yes.
Recently, they've gotten pretty popular from their cover of Murder on the Dance Floor and Linger. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in Philly.
Okay.
On Thursday night.
Okay.
And I was going to go.
Oh, if you can still go if you want.
It's not the same.
Okay.
It's not going to feel right.
Oh, shit. Sunny Day Real Estate is next week, next Thursday. Who knows? We might have a game. Shout out to Spike on WIP. Turned around the afternoon show. You guys are great together. Thank you. I'm wondering, we do get, I would say, one call a day from somebody who's like, hey, Ricky listener from forever, which makes me feel good.
Because cool.
I understand it's not the same thing, right? Like, even when we talk about the Sixers, it's not like when we talk about the Sixers on here, it's just different.
Yeah.
But I'm having the best time. If anybody listens, I'm having like truly the time of my life. Working with Ike and Jack has been so much fun. And just to have that sort of like vibe and chemistry with your partners almost right away is awesome. Well, if anyone listens, I'm truly having the most fun first few weeks of a job I've ever had. So
I got this text yesterday around 4 o'clock from my friend. Love to walk around my city and hear my favorite podcast host's voice blasting on the UPS truck.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah. Well, I mean, WIP, being on the radio, I love the pod. Being on the radio is like this whole other thing, though, because, you know, everybody's listening at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's been really cool. People getting mad at me all day. Having a good time. We making fun of Jack getting caught farting on the air.
Actually?
Yeah. So it's just brutal. Having a good time.
Brutal.
What else do we got?
Have you ran yet? Are you?
No. Next weekend is it. Well, first weekend of May. I have not run yet, but I am walking now 5 to 6 miles every morning and up around 16,000 steps a day. So
a lot of steps.
It's a lot, you know? So I made a deal with my physical therapist that on my walk this weekend or next for the last 5 minutes of my walk, I'm just going to jog at home and just not be scared. You know, worst is that I'm sore, you know?
Before this, you were running every day, right?
Yeah, for years. Yeah. After I couldn't run for 2.5 years when my hip first went bad, like 10 or 15 years ago or whatever. But then I've run for the last 5, 6 years. So should I answer weirdo hater guys? No, I just won't.
Depends how weird.
Well, it's like this guy keeps tweeting that I hate Maxi and I have passive aggressive hate for Maxi. I love Maxi.
I feel like a lot of time, and I'm sure you know this, but a lot of time, like if you're a chatter as well and you see like one person just like spamming a lot of shit, oftentimes they just want to be heard.
Like
they
so I heard them.
And then you talk to them or you like answer back and then they like back off often.
Should I go down and get a Surfside or something?
Kelly got the new flavors the other day.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, so I got, Stateside dropped off the bottles at WIP today.
Oh,
With the year. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to get one so I can, can you hold down the fort for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got this.
All right. I've been waiting for this forever. All right, I'll be right back.
Fucking finally. All right, who's got questions for me? 10 beans. Matt pays to say, I'm several beers deep. I just want to say, I love Sam Mankey. Me too, man. Me too. Tom wants to know, am I having a Surfside? No, I'm having a Kirkland Signature Sparkling Water Lime. I haven't had a drink since I saw Zoo, the DJ Zoo in Philly in September. And I was training for a marathon at the time and haven't drank since. Looking through questions, if you're just popping in now, as you see on the ticker, Mike will be here soon. He had work and is catching up. He's probably around the fourth quarter right now. So probably another 20-ish minutes, I would guess. Maybe a little less. A lot of chatters. Oh yeah, I see some people saying this sometimes. So we stream on a platform called StreamYard, and it's across YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. So yeah, if you're watching this on Twitter, we are also live on those other platforms.
All right, here we go.
I just caught up on the chat and I got to the part when you walked away.
Look at this.
It's a sick bottle.
It is. And look at the back.
Two signatures.
Yeah. If you, here, I'll put the link in the, they have them still for sale.
Do they have them at the storefront?
I think you could order it and then just go pick it up. I don't know. I'll find out. I put the link in the. In the chat there.
Have you been paying attention to the Kendrick Drake beef?
So this is going to be on brand for me, but I think both those rappers, they don't do anything for me. So them fighting, like, I don't know. Unlike Mike, I like the old rap battles. Like, sure. I like Cannabis versus LL Cool J. I like Kumo D, you know. Like, I like all the fucking old battles, but this one doesn't do anything for me. So, Spike, how many guitars do you own?
2, 3, 4, 5.
I own 5 guitars. That one, the acoustic one, was Butch Walker's that he signed, and I have a video of him autographing it. He's my favorite.
I think I'm going to get a guitar soon. We go to Russo Music on Cal Hill. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's right next to the climbing gym I go to as well. And
do you know how to play at all?
No, not a lick. So the goal was like... I have a race next month. Once I finish that and the Sixers are no longer playing basketball, then I'll have a lot of free time. And
it's not going to be next month, buddy. We got a little, well, I guess, it's still April. So
yeah.
June. I would recommend the most comfortable guitar I play is a Strat. My favorite is a Telecaster, but the most comfortable is a Strat. Easiest to play. Feels good. Not too heavy. Feels good sitting down. That's the thing it sucks about Les Paul is that it sucks when you're sitting down. So
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Ozware, hi. I'm the producer of this podcast. it's not a podcast right now. This is just a filtering section for the other co-host.
Yeah. He is, as of 10:02, he was starting the fourth. So.
Oh, he did say that.
Any Phillies takes? Oh, CJ, did you meet?
I knew of Reggie. I never met him.
What's TSM?
TSM was the esports org that I was freelance editing before I got my day job now.
Cool.
Fun story about them is that they had a naming rights deal with crypto giant FTX before that went to shit. Also the former Miami Heat Arena namesake.
Crypto. It's totally
love that.
Legit. Yeah.
Love that.
NFTs, totally legit. Crypto, legit. All totally legit. Give us... What is your... Oh, can we put this one?
Sure.
What is your favorite... Oh, wait. Hold on. I missed it. There it is. If they're, and we'll donate all this money. By the way, if you want your question answered first, if you donate $5 or more, we will donate all this to our charities. Providence Animal Center, Mamatis Community Fridge. My favorite one is the one that never made the pod when we had like a knockdown drag out fight about Michael Franco on the Phillies.
Before
it was such a weird fight. And we had one during COVID. We had a really loud one, but that was it.
I've seen a few over the years that probably wouldn't be classified as full on pod fights, but when there's definitely some tension.
Yeah.
personally, none of them are favorite for me because I hate it. I don't want to have to fucking deal with any tension.
Well, it's funny because, yeah, there are some people who love them and there are some people who hate them and they always get responses. And there's always the people that say, does this mean the pod is going to end?
Yeah.
We've argued a lot, you know. There's one that you were there for that might be one of my favorites when I just stopped. I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm not talking. Go ahead.
That was the radio one.
Yes.
When he was like, this isn't the radio.
Yeah. When I said it was funny because I believe my question was something to the effect of like, do you think Korkmaz or Shake Milton is going to get the rotation minutes?
Right.
And he wouldn't pick. And he's like, this isn't the radio. And all I can think is like, we would never talk about this on the radio, you know? So,
how many edits do I make to the pod before publishing? It depends. Most of the time, not a lot. Doing it live has definitely streamlined things.
I have an idea. I'll be right back.
Sure. Doing the pod live, we didn't always do the pod live. We started doing it in 21, I think. So there was a good year plus before when I was with the Ricky that they would record offline, send me the footage, and then I would edit it and make it look better for YouTube. That was a lot more work on the back end, but most of the time, not that many edits, unless we do an interview and if someone says something that we like later on are like, maybe that's not great to include, but that doesn't happen regularly. So not often. It's normally a pretty quick process.
The answer is you don't do a lot of edits to the pod, right? Like you clean it up, but you don't edit stuff out.
Yeah, I was just saying like very rarely like someone would say something and then like it needs to be cut out, but that pretty much doesn't happen at this point.
From 1999 from Briggs Auction.
Whoa.
Oh, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? Oh, I think this is easy. What do you think?
Probably the duck, the big duck, because I would just like go for his legs.
Yeah.
Skinny legs.
Every it's so over is a gift because it means we're right. We're so back right around the corner. It's true. I said on the air today, I said, we were talking about like just how done this all is. And I was like, when they win tonight, I'm going to come in tomorrow all fired up thinking we're going to win the series. And that is what's going to happen. So still no Mike. Yeah, he was starting the fourth in 0-2. Now he's speeding through it. So I think we're going to get Mike in the next 7 minutes. That would be my guess. I am currently wearing, they sent me one. Thanks, Amanda, from nice. Big Barker. The new Bark shirt with Rebel dunking on two dogs. Now, I don't know if anyone has noticed this, but it is modeled after the Starks dunk, believe it or not, is what Mike Pfeffer decided on. He did a good job. It's a great shirt. I saw a t-shirt arrive for me today, and I thought it was the year shirt or whatever. But this, I wish you could see this. Oh, I have one of these for you. By the way.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
But I wish you could see how sweet it looks in person. It looks awesome.
Do you still have your Harden wine?
I do. It's over there. You want me to take a sip?
I have an empty bottle on my windowsill that I look at every day and I'm like, why the fuck am I keeping that? Like that's not serving any purpose. Yes, I am Philly based.
Oh, and I would take the duck as well. Or the big duck.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
Yeah.
What sport can I beat Mike and Spike in?
Well, it's mostly beating Mike because me as a sport guy now.
Yeah, you're recovering from injury.
Yeah.
Mike is pretty athletic.
Mm-hmm.
He'd kick my ass in basketball for sure, but tennis, rock climbing, you want to count that as a sport? Running. A few things I'd do pretty well in. Oh, shit. I just got to the... how many guitars questions. So I'm 8 minutes behind on the questions.
Oh, wow.
Updated a hat count? You done a hat count recently?
No, so I haven't bought very many recently. I probably have 100. I don't know what I said last time. I probably have somewhere around 100. My wife got me that Phillies hat with the big P, which is one of my favorites. And she got me a sort of a weird Eagles hat, which I have over there. So we're having trouble streaming on YouTube. This might be on YouTube's end. Please check YouTube to ensure the stream looks okay. Do you see that?
I do not see that, no.
There's an exclamation point around the YouTube thing. Well, people are commenting on YouTube, so must be fine.
My favorite or least favorite venue in Philly. I don't know if I've been to enough venues enough times to like have a clear-cut favorite more than like I've been to Franklin Music Hall, Electric Factory the most for sure. And as like a slightly above average height person, it's fine for me because I can most of the time see over people. But I know a lot of people don't like it because if you are short, then you're kind of screwed.
Trying to think. I don't love the Met. The Electric Factory has a huge place in my heart. I loved the Trocadero, but it's not there anymore. I do like the TLA. So for Sunny Day Real Estate, they do have like 25 seats in the balcony at the TLA, even though it's standing room downstairs. And I got for Sunny Day Real Estate, which is an old school emo band. I know you probably don't know them, but you should listen to Diary. I'll send it to you. They're doing a 30th anniversary tour of their first record. But I got the first row on the balcony on the end, which is a seat, which is amazing at the TLA, but also first row on the balcony. But I'm trying to think favorite. I think the former Electric Factory, I forget even what it's called now, is probably my favorite. So
Franklin Musical,
yeah.
Do you have a most difficult hike? The one that stands out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was in San Bernardino. And I think I told this story. So it's my brother and I. And first of all, we thought it was going to be much cooler than it was. So we were wearing too many clothes. But it was about a 6-hour hike or whatever. But one of them, we're going down a hill, which is a lot of like pebbles and sand. Mm-hmm. And as I'm going down it, I say to him, and it was very steep. I said, "You said this is an up and back, right?" He's like, "Yeah." It's like, because I was thinking about having to go up this hill. So we walked for another couple hours. And also on this hike, I got very scared of heights for some reason. And I had to just stare at the back of his shoes. So we get to the hill and we look at it. And I swear to God, CJ, you look at it and it is straight up. It seems impossible. And nowhere on the All Trails reviews did it mention that this is fucking impossible. So we're Mike just hit overtime.
All caps, multiple question marks. So probably 10, 15
minutes. Yeah, it's less than that. Because remember, he doesn't have to sit through timeouts and stuff. So there was nothing on the All Trails reviews about it being bad. We couldn't believe it. We looked at it afterwards. There's nothing. If you go to the All Trails reviews now, all of it is like, "This is not moderate," like exclamation point, oh, wow. Exclamation point. The hill, really, really hard. Do you have a hard one?
I two come to mind. Lassen Peak in Northern California was very exposed and very high incline. It wasn't a super long hike, but it was just pretty much straight up the entire way. Mm-hmm. And then I backpacked in Olympic, the Ho River Trail in Olympic National Park in Washington.
Cool.
And we just did probably too much in a short period of time. So I just wanted to die at the end. My dad texted me, correcting me that Sixth Sense was an all-time Bruce Willis movie. Of course, I forgot about Sixth Sense. I've seen Sixth Sense.
Never seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I know what happens.
That's fair.
When somebody told me what it was, I was like, I no longer had any interest. So, What conditioner does CJ use? Oh yeah.
I don't really condition. I have pretty thick hair, so I just wash it like once every 5-6 days.
Just if you're just tuning in, we're waiting for Mike. Mike had to watch the game on delay, so he's speeding through it. He is in overtime. And then once Dan asks, yeah, Sunny Day Real Estate. I'm sorry, I'll answer any Sunny Day Real Estate questions. That is Jeremy Enoch. I still listen to Diary to this day. I like The Rising Tide too, but I still listen to Diary to this day. I went to see the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas, Almost Acoustic Christmas in Los Angeles when I was a freshman in college. And I went to see Hole and all the bigger bands on the bill. And this band, Sunny Day Real Estate, played. And they like shook me. That's how good it was. So I've been a fan of them ever since.
I felt that way about the Maine. Have you heard of the band The Maine?
No.
I saw them also at Franklin Music Hall, and it was one of those shows where I had heard of them, but I wasn't super into them. My friends brought me along, and just like an incredible performance. Really good. Really good band to see live.
Cool. More CS. Oh, we do have a big Barker ad this time.
Catching up on questions.
Yeah, somebody's asking. Oh, joined a little late. Are we done talking? We haven't even started.
We have ran through the game already. Now we're just kind of hanging out. We don't want to go to sleep yet. No, Mike is on delay watching the game. He should be here momentarily.
And if you make a donation on the YouTube or whatever, we will donate that to our charities. We will not keep it. I promise. You got to let me know if you can go to the thing, the gala.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you have more? I mean, you don't need to talk about it right now, but more information on it?
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Date, time,
yep.
Location, all that.
Well, I told you date, didn't I?
I know the date, yeah.
Yeah. I'll send you an email.
Cool.
The guy from the Broad Street Ministry, very nice. So...
I haven't looked at Twitter at all, obviously, because we've been doing this. Did Nick Nurse break his finger?
Oh, wow. Maybe he broke it giving the refs the middle finger?
We have not talked anything game-related to
nothing.
Be able to give Mike the opportunity to shine in his rightful spot. Have you been to Yosemite? Yeah, I have been to Yosemite. Love Yosemite. I watched Free Solo on the flight to Yosemite.
Oh, fuck.
Before like rock climbing at all. And then got into climbing like a year after that. And I really want to go back and get some climbing in. Mike said he was...
He's almost done.
Like 8 minutes ago.
He started overtime.
Overtime.
Yeah.
So.
This is a DraftKings pod, right? Yeah. I have their copy in a different place that I have the other copy. I can't believe they won the game. It's a stunner.
Yeah, I was very much checked out.
Oh my God.
With like 2 minutes left.
Well, I mean, in fairness, I texted you and I was like, guess we're waiting. The deal that me and CJ made was that if the Sixers won, we're just going to hang out on the stream until Mike gets here. If they lose, we'll wait for Mike. So I think with right before the Maxi 4-point play, I texted you and I was like, well, I guess we'll see when Mike is ready. And then I came back after peeing and Maxi had hit the 4-point play. Amazing.
Tom makes a good point. Mike is just going to come in and just like, we're 30 minutes into this.
As if the game interlude had just ended.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to amp myself up because Val got home from France today and she's exhausted and in bed.
Ooh,
and
France, that's fun.
When Maxi hit the three to tie it, I fucking lost it. And then I had to realize I had to calm down because I couldn't scream, you know.
I haven't been checking Twitter or anything. So if anyone in the chat has any
updates,
good quotes or updates that you want to pull over, I can pull them up. Well, maybe, I mean, we're not going to talk about the game before, we're not going to do the pod before the pod.
No, can't. Everybody's asking me to play guitar. I don't think anything's tuned. I haven't really played anything in months. So next time, if they win game six, I will play guitar on the pod.
Some people are asking about doing the ads now instead of...
We can't though.
We can't because... So when this goes live, this is live on YouTube right now, but when it's over, I'm going to trim... YouTube has a built-in editing software that's very
basic,
light on the features.
Yeah,
you can trim the beginning and end, but you can't like cut things in the middle, so then I would need to delete the entire stream and then re-upload the video, which doesn't make a lot of sense. So unfortunately
can't
do that.
Can't do it.
Otherwise we would.
Well, here's something to watch for. I'm gonna need to get a spot in, and Mike's going to be excitedly rambling, and you're going to see me. If you hear me just not talk for 2 minutes, it's because I'm waiting for Mike to stop so I can get an ad in. By the way, I love nobody loves our partners. No podcast loves their partners / advertisers more than I do. Nobody. I love them. They're all so committed to us. I fucking love them. Sometimes to get it in there, I need Mike to shut the fuck up. So, if a tomato is a fruit, that does that mean ketchup is a smoothie? That's disgusting. Yeah. So,
Sixers coach Nick Nurse injured his finger when he slammed his hand in frustration on a call during Sixers game 5 win at Madison Square Garden. Unclear if it's a break or a sprain. Nurse couldn't draw plays up in the second half because he couldn't grip a marker. Damn.
Dude, he's a real one. I mean, Mike should be here soon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly.
Where's the Nick Nurse hat? Somebody asked for a Nick Nurse hat. We could do that.
I forgot we had
I coach basketball in Los Angeles.
I didn't do this.
Coach Mike.
Coach Mike.
When she does this, do that.
I ran a 1-2-1 zone.
Coach my ass off.
I forgot we had the cafe music as well.
Ah.
Just something easy. Something light.
What are all the, Tom asked, what are all the buttons on the soundboard?
We are star hunting.
So that one. I have a crowd one.
No help.
The reason why defense is bad lately, such a nothing.
The Mike No Help song. I even forgot what happened in the song.
I don't play like that. When I play, I'm pretty intense.
I playing basketball.
I coach basketball in Los Angeles.
Mike Turquidion. That's it. Love the pod.
I think the problem with this is that if we did call him, then he's going to know what the end of the game is.
Yeah.
So.
This is a little unacceptable. It's fucking, the game ended 40 minutes ago. Come on.
A lot of JJ questions. That's been in the rundown for a bit. So,
oh, JJ and the Hornets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then someone asked if he's going to be the Lakers' next coach.
That would be hilarious.
A lot of opportunities for him.
Here, I'll play the other Mike song while we're waiting. Come on, Mike. So Ethan from DraftKings said, we don't have to do the DraftKings ad tonight if five people in the chat put $10 on the Sixers to win the series.
There it is.
I like doing the DraftKings. The DraftKings ads are easy, though. Where is the Mike song? Hold on. There it is. Where is he? What are we doing here? What are we doing, Mike? Come on, today. Up and be counted.
Don't be ashamed to cry. They just gotta get hot. They gotta get hot. They gotta hit the shots. They gotta stay healthy. They gotta get downhill. They gotta get to the line. And they gotta get to the rim. They gotta not fucking double too much. They gotta force them to take tough shots.
People love that one, by the way. It's very, even Amos texted me that he loved that one.
That's good. It's so simple. Like, yep. I can see the timeline of like just taking the instrumental and then the cutting,
putting
of
the clip of, over, yeah, it. Yeah.
Versus the Coach Mike and Mike Plays Basketball ones, which were much more like polished songs.
And using a hit song as the base makes it better. Like, You Gotta Be is already a great song. So, right. You know what we haven't played in a while? If the Sixers win the title, we're going to do a pod where we play the We Didn't Start the Fire five times in the pod. There he is. We're live. We're live. We've been waiting for 38 minutes on YouTube. All right.
Ooh.
Can we start? Okay. All right.